Now, the New York Times this week reported that intelligence officials warned the Trump administration that Russia was offering bounties to Taliban fighters for attacks on American troops in Afghanistan. The Trump administration has denied knowledge of the news and has claimed that the intelligence community hasn't reached consensus on the information. Russia has also denied the allegations. Our next guest joins us to talk about the news and what it could say about current and future diplomatic relations between the U.S. and Russia. Lowell Barrington is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Lowell, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. It's good to be back.
Well, what is your initial reaction, Lowell, to this story out this week?
Well, I think even Mitch McConnell has said today that if it's true, it's not surprising. And so in some ways, I guess the Russian side of it does not surprise me that the GRU, the Russian Military Intelligence Agency, would be involved in something like providing incentives for U.S. troops in Afghanistan to be targeted and killed. I think the other parts of the story are the things that have been real surprising. And again, I will say everything I'm saying today is assuming that all these accounts are true. And I think we have certainly a lot of reasons to believe at least a lot of the reporting that there were multiple streams of intelligence about this are pretty well backed up. But assuming it's true, again, the idea that the president was not briefed on this, I think, is in fact quite surprising. It certainly is the kind of thing that would rise to the level of concern and warrant some kind of briefing of him.
Right. This is intelligence reports being reported on in the media. So there's some asterisk here. Up to this, though, apart from what is allegedly happening in Afghanistan, what do we know for pretty sure about Russian efforts or Russian intelligence efforts directed against the West?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, the Russian intelligence agencies have been involved in a variety of different things, including, you know, things we've talked about in the past about not just involvement in elections, not just the United States, but other countries' elections, the targeting of former Russian officials who are living abroad, the, you know, famous poisoning case in the UK. There's a lot of things like that that this sort of fits into a pattern of, and it's in particular a kind of piece of a pattern case of Afghanistan because of the history of Russia involvement in Afghanistan, specifically as part of the Soviet Union. The USSR invaded Afghanistan in 1979 and had to withdraw in 1989. And so I think that Russia not only cares about Afghanistan as a kind of relative neighbor in that it Afghanistan borders countries that border Russia, but also that history of it involving the USSR, and frankly, if they can play a role in us withdrawing and essentially looking like we have kind of left a mess when we leave, helping create a kind of sign of weakness for our foreign policy, which would then bolster Russia as a kind of regional power in that area.
Yeah, looking at Afghanistan, maybe through Putin's eyes, I mean, he was in his 30s or 40s, I think, as the Soviet Union was occupying Afghanistan. A well-funded effort from the U.S. Helped the forces that ultimately helped push them out. He could see this. I don't want to, go inside his head, but this could be seen as a sort of revenge if he could flip the scales against the United States here.
Sure, and I think that people are correct in talking about Putin as someone who's very strategic and certainly takes advantages of opportunities when presented with them. And I think he's seen a lot of opportunities in the last few years. But at the same time, I think one thing that people miss is he was deeply sort of resentful and angry. There's really good evidence about the different things that were going on in the 1990s, for example, in the early post-Soviet period, where he and friends were sort of getting together to talk about the weaknesses of Russia at that point as a power and how far it had fallen and how much the West was responsible for that. So I think while, it certainly is the case that he is very good at strategy and good at taking advantage of things, I would also not, let people, sort of think that this is not somebody that also cares about these things, that for him, the weakness and certainly the perceived weakness of Russia is always a driving force in a lot of what he tries to do.
We're talking to Lowell Barrington, political scientist at Marquette University, looking at the news reports and allegations of Russian bounties offered to Taliban to target U.S. troops in Afghanistan. That's the Russian side of things. Let's look a little closer to home here and what the president may have known. You were talking about that just a bit ago. A White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, was asked about this at a briefing. Here's some of what she had to say.
The president is briefed on verified intelligence. And again, I would just point you back to the absolutely irresponsible decision of the New York Times to falsely report that he was briefed on something that he, in fact, was not briefed on. And I really think that it's time for the New York Times to step back and ask themselves why they've been wrong, so often.
Now, other media outlets have confirmed at least some details of this reporting, Lowell. So what questions, and a lot of people in Congress are asking questions, what questions are you hoping get answered about kind of the chain of briefings of the president?
Well, I think, first of all, let me start with what the press secretary said there, which is that very carefully using words about, again, that there was not a consensus on the intelligence or it had not been verified. Even the White House has been very careful to not say what President Trump had said, which is that the evidence was not credible. And there's a reason for that. I mean, there's almost never a unanimous 100% surety of field reports from intelligence agents. You know, you always need to do further corroboration of those reports. But if the information is credible, and again, the key here is kind of a mix of how credible it is and how important it is. So the more important the issue would be, the less you need to wait for kind of more and more and more verification before you would bring it up the chain to top officials. I think in those situations, again, in this case, I mean, we're looking at something where there was, again, multiple intelligence reports. And again, this is an AP report, and there's some now initial looks like sort of backing up from other media outlets as well. But that, in fact, the earliest intelligence reports were coming in early 2019 about this, and that they made their way to the National Security Council level. So again, this is not something that we can sort of say there isn't a good case for briefing him on this. If he wasn't briefed, again, that's a really puzzling situation for me. I think it's most likely because we seem to have some different reports that, in fact, it had been included in either some brief oral comments from people or at a minimum in the daily briefings. That it may have just been something that, again, if it was in a daily briefing, the president may not have read or did not sort of take seriously.
Democratic Representative Adam Schiff talked to NPR about this morning. He's on the House Intelligence Committee and was planning on meeting with White House staff today. Here's some of what he had to say about the allegations.
At some point, they will either confirm or deny the actual intelligence reports, but until they do, I can't comment on that. I can tell you that I have and continue to have had for some time concerns about Russia's malevolent actions around the world, including in Afghanistan. And one of the questions I have when I go to the White House today is going to be, if this wasn't briefed to the president at a time when he was inviting Russia back into the G8, why wasn't it? And if it was, why on earth would he be welcoming Russia back in the Community of Nations if they're engaged in paying bounties for the killing of U.S. troops?
What are you watching for from Congress on this issue now, Lowell?
Well, I would expect that at least in the House, because we have Democrats controlling those committees, that there will be, I mean, they've already really put in requests apparently from for briefings. I would not be surprised if there were official hearings. I could imagine the first round of those might be behind closed doors, just because, again, if there's some, you know, really serious intelligence information in this that they would not want out in the open, you might have some closed door hearings. I would also expect at some point, though, that there would be open public hearings about this as well, at least again in the House. But again, this is really not been a partisan issue in terms of its response. The normal situation of the last, especially year or two, where Republicans in Congress have kind of fallen behind the president, even when it's not something in their history that they would have kind of backed, in a positive way. I mean, you have all sorts of Republicans in both the House and the Senate saying this needs to be looked into. We need to know when, you know, we did know about it. And if it's true, that there need to be really concrete steps taken. So I think that, again, some things maybe even in both houses of Congress will be forthcoming.
We're talking to Lowell Barrington, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. He's with us to talk about U.S.-Russia relations in light of the report that Russian officials were allegedly offering bounties on American troops in Afghanistan. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What thoughts or questions do you have about U.S.-Russian relations? What do you think about this news report about these alleged bounties? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time, WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about allegations that Russia offered bounties to Taliban fighters for attacks on American troops in Afghanistan. Lowell Barrington stays with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. You can join in with your thoughts, questions, and reactions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Dave is with us in Eagle. Dave, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Dave?
I just got two quick points. The first one is regarding the United States foreign policy. I would say that over the past 60 to 70 years, our foreign policy has been absolutely atrocious. And I think the best way to prevent American soldiers from being targeted and put in other people's countries we've invaded, keeping them out of their crosshairs is to bring them home and not be meddling in everybody's countries. The second thing is to really realize that Russia is not, as far as I'm concerned, a massive threat. It's more China than anything.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. So first of all, that idea, you know, part of the problem is, Dave says, U.S. troops in places like Afghanistan or maybe Syria or Iraq, where they are going to come into conflict with countries like Russia and others.
Well, Dave has a legitimate question that we need in this country to continue to talk about, which is the issue of when we should be involved in conflicts overseas and in what ways might we try to find ways to do that less often. There's a really quick story about when we initially were in Iraq, and there's a story about U.S. troops, and they're with a translator, and there's a person sort of walking along the road, and they come up to him, and the translator asks the person if they had seen any foreign fighters in the area, because this was when the kind of foreign insurgents were coming into Iraq to fight the U.S. And so they asked him if there are any foreign fighters in the area, and he said, besides you. You know, I mean, the U.S. doesn't even sort of think of itself in that way as foreign fighters in those countries, but we are viewed that way. So I think that's a legitimate question, but it's also a really separate question from the issue of if we are in those countries and our troops are targeted in the way that this reporting says they have been, what's the proper response and what would be the proper response of at least informing the president about it? So I would sort of say it's an important and an ongoing question about U.S. foreign policy and its, you know, our decisions to use force abroad, but that's a something we can still sort of separate out from this particular topic. And the point on China, again, I would say, yes, China is a concern, but I would not say it's a concern at the expense of you know, not worrying at all about Russia. Russia has already shown its willingness to involve itself in American politics and American foreign policy. So I would say sort of a yes and there. This would be, yes, we should be considering China as an ongoing issue for us globally, but not forget about Russia either.
Thanks for that call. Go to Brad now in Madison. Brad, hello.
Hi there. I'd like to know what crime it is that Russia has committed, and I'd like to know what the proper process is of enforcing the law. Nobody seems to be talking about this, and I personally think there's a huge breakdown in enforcing war crimes law throughout the world.
Brad, thanks a lot for that call. In international issues like this, Lowell, does anybody agree on a legitimate institution to arbitrate something like this?
Well, there are global institutions and there is international law and there are standards about things like war crimes. One of the problems for us is that we have occasionally used those kinds of institutions when it was to our advantage, but we have also as a country, and this is not something unique to President Trump, this has gone on for a long time, that we refuse to hold ourselves accountable to those institutions if it involves American troops. I think, again, we have a great example of a question there where, yes, that's a really important long-term issue for global stability, that we really get figured out how to try to find ways to come to agreement about what constitutes things that should be kept in check and then how we try to do that. But again, this is a situation where it's not really a question today about legality of what Russia did, but in fact, from a foreign policy and national security standpoint, and I would also say from a political standpoint, what is going to be done about this if in fact it the reporting continues to hold up as it seems to be.
Thanks for that call, Lowell. In our just last minute or so, what are you watching for next on this story and U.S.-Russian relations?
Well, I think, again, there's going to need to be more information about when things were reported or not reported within different parts of the administration. And again, a much better story about why it was not brought to the president's attention if it really wasn't. I think that's one piece. I think the other thing is that we're seeing at the same time a kind of renewal of the conversations about concern with the administration and with the president about how he interacts with certain leaders. President Erdogan from Turkey, President Putin from Russia, there's new reporting about different kinds of phone calls and the way that essentially Erdogan, for example, apparently has an open line where he just calls and Trump takes the calls on the golf course and things like that. So there's this side of the story that, again, it's a kind of piece of a narrative about his closeness to different leaders. And I would just say that I think, you know, increasingly, while he still believes he's respected by these leaders abroad, that he understands them, that he's on par or maybe better than them as a negotiator, the evidence is that I think he's wrong on all of those points.
Lowell, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Sure, Rob. Thank you.
That's Lowell Barrington, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. He joined us today to talk about the report that Russia allegedly paid Taliban fighters in Afghanistan bounties for attacks on American troops and for a look at the future of diplomatic relations with Russia.